I read a piece in Politico. The title is Republicans Scold Liz Cheney by Ben Smith. It says a group that includes leading conservative lawyers and policy experts, former independent counsel Kenneth Starr, and several senior officials of the last Bush administration is denouncing as, quote, shameful, unquote, Republican attacks on lawyers who came to the Obama Justice Department after representing suspected terrorists. Senate Republicans have demanded details of the lawyers' past work, and Liz Cheney's group, Keep America Safe, has questioned their values. A drumbeat of Republican criticism forced the Justice Department reluctantly to identify seven of them, or as we call them, and Keep America Safe labels them, the Al-Qaeda Seven. And it's provoked a backlash from across the legal establishment. We consider these attacks both unjust to the individuals in question and destructive of any attempt to build lasting mechanisms for counterterrorism adjudications, wrote the 19 lawyers, whose names were attached to a statement of early Monday. The statement cited John Adams' defense of British soldiers charged in the Boston Massacre to argue the, quote, that zealous representation of unpopular clients, unquote, is an important American tradition. I wish we had our Boston affiliate the other week when I explained the Boston Massacre, because apparently these lawyers who signed this letter, some of whom are my friends, some of whom are my acquaintances, don't know what happened at the Boston Massacre. How do you compare the Boston Massacre to attempts by terrorists to murder as many American citizens as possible and overthrow our society? That's not what happened at the Boston Massacre. And, of course, we know John Adams represented the captain among the British soldiers. And the captain got off because the captain didn't do anything. As a matter of fact, six of the eight of the soldiers got off. The other two had minor punishments, because it was believed that somebody in the crowd may have started the Boston Massacre. Anyway, you can read about it yourself. We linked to it a week or two ago, one of a very fine piece on it. But this isn't the Boston Massacre. You have people in the position of defending this nation at the highest levels of the Justice Department who have represented the enemy. And their belief systems have clearly affected national security policy. Now, who signed this letter condemning Liz Cheney and Deborah Burlingame and other friends of mine? Benjamin Witts, who used to be a Washington Post editorial writer. Robert Chesney, Matthew Waxman, David Rivkin, Lee Casey, Philip Bobbitt. I don't know all of them. I know some of them. Peter Keisler, Bradford Berenson, Kenneth Anderson, John Bellinger, Philip Zelikow, Ken Starr, Larry Thompson, Cully Stimson, Chuck Rosenberg, Harvey Ryshikoff, Orrin Kerr, Daniel Delorto, so forth. Well, put me on the other side. As somebody who was involved in presidential personnel in the Reagan administration and was involved in staffing the Justice Department, and was involved in helping to staff the federal judiciary, there's no way in hell we would have cleared somebody who represented a terrorist. Period. Some of these individuals I just listed served in the Reagan administration. Some of them had to be cleared by me. And if they had represented a terrorist in the Reagan administration, they would not have wound up. Prior to their service in the Reagan administration, they would not have wound up in the Reagan administration. I don't know of anybody in the Reagan, or let me put it to you this way, the Ed Meese Justice Department, in a senior political position, who ever represented the terrorists. I mean, would you put somebody who represented a Nazi in the Civil Rights Division? No, you wouldn't. This crap where the bar, they all stick together. This is why we have Eric Holder as the Attorney General of the United States. Other Republicans felt compelled to write a letter. Very unfair what's being done to Eric Holder. Holder is a disaster. And so are the people he's appointing. You lawyers who signed this letter, shame on you, including some of my friends. I won't get personal, but shame on you. Giving cover to the lawyers for the enemy. And we're still at war with this enemy. Nobody's saying lawyers can't represent the enemy, particularly if the court gives them certain rights. But what some of us are saying is they shouldn't be in the highest positions of the federal government setting national security policy. They've already sold out. They're free to sell out. They can do whatever they want. But that doesn't mean we have to stand by idly and applaud them. And in some cases, and I even have read them on the air in the past, these lawyers weren't just representing clients. They went out and found them, sought them out. They considered them some of the most important cases they ever had. Due process rights for the enemy, absolutely. Civilian justice for the enemy, absolutely. Now they're in government, making the same exact decisions, except they're setting policy for us. They're not representing the enemy. Or maybe they are, but they're in the wrong position. So Ben Smith at Politico, why don't you make a list of some lawyers like me, a former chief of staff to Attorney General Meese. I side with Liz Cheney and Deborah Burlingame and keep America safe. Screw the legal bar. They write, such attacks also undermine the justice system more broadly. In terrorism detentions and trials alike, defense lawyers are playing and will continue to play a key role. Whether one believes in trial by military commissioner in federal court, detainees will have access to counsel. So what? So they have access to counsel. Should that counsel be an assistant attorney general? When they're done? Deputy Solicitor of the United States? No, I don't think so. You know what you guys are missing who signed this letter? A simple word. Judgment. Your judgment is flawed. Nobody's arguing that somebody who has a right to a lawyer doesn't get a lawyer. By the way, how come none of you have represented any of the terrorists? Rivkin, man I respect, David Rivkin, why haven't you taken it upon yourself to represent a terrorist? I mean, after all, they have these rights, as you point out. Somebody has to represent them. Why isn't it you? Lee Casey, why isn't it you? Benjamin Witts, why isn't it you? Bradford Berenson, why aren't you representing a terrorist? I mean, they have a right to a lawyer. Why isn't it you? Because you've chosen not to represent them. Why is that? Can you tell me? I think I know. Because you want nothing to do with them. Let somebody else represent them. Okay, great. Well, there's even more of a reason not to give them high-level government jobs where they set policy. Because the truth is that many of the law firms in the aggregate and lawyers at these firms are sympathetic, not to the terrorists per se, but to the destruction of our national security apparatus and replacing it with some kind of a, I don't know, courtroom national security of some sense, I guess. But shame on you. And you guys in Congress who want to know the names of more of them, go for it. Because you're on the right side. We don't put people, you know, I'll give you another example. There's a man who used to represent the Klan in Alabama. Matter of fact, he was a part of the Klan for a while. He was a lawyer for the Klan. Should he have been a Supreme Court justice? Hugo Black? And Hugo Black was a Supreme Court justice. And you know what? This whole separation of church and state thing came from Hugo Black in a case called Everson in the 1940s. And you know why he pushed the court in that direction? Because he despised Catholics and the Roman Catholic Church. How do I know this? Well, I've written about it in Men in Black. But his son said so. In some great detail. It's often difficult to separate one's prejudices and views from one's official duties. The case of a judge, you're really supposed to do it. But in the case of an advocate in the Justice Department, you don't necessarily have to do it. We have a million lawyers in this country. We couldn't do better than these seven, could we? No. I'm going to tell you what's really going on. A lot of these guys make their living in the courtroom and have represented people who have, you know, dirty backgrounds or whatever it is, been accused of terrible, terrible things, and they're thinking, you know, one day that could be me. Well, one day that could be you. It's still different than representing the enemy in wartime. That's something you have to ask to do. Well, for the most part. That's something you have to want to do for the most part. Eric Holder's law firm, Covington and Burling, wanted to do it more than any other law firm, is my understanding. And he's now Attorney General. And he had announced that these KSM and others would be tried in Manhattan. Do you think a Reaganite would have done that? Do you think a former prosecutor would have done that, or an existing prosecutor? Hell no. You have to be a radical to think that way. And that's what these seven lawyers are. Radicals. Let's not fool ourselves with stupid letters like this, which pretend to argue a principle that doesn't even exist in these cases. And that is this. If you want to represent an unlawful enemy combatant, that is an Al-Qaeda terrorist, be my guest. Be my guest. But don't pretend you're John Adams, because John Adams did no such thing. Get your history straight. Stop sounding like morons. Get your history straight. It's one thing to stand up against the popular will in the courtroom. We do that all the time, we lawyers. But it's quite another, in the middle of a war, to represent Al-Qaeda terrorists and then get appointed to the highest positions that lawyers can have in the United States Justice Department. John Adams represented an innocent man who was not responsible for the Boston Massacre. He went against the popular will, but he didn't represent somebody who had as his stated goal the overthrow, the destruction of the colonists. And those soldiers, you might remember, they wore bright red uniforms. They were out in the open. They were not what we call today, under the Geneva Accords, unlawful enemy combatants, or what the rest of us call terrorists. They were soldiers. They were following the rules. Unlike the enemy we face today. So don't besmirch John Adams. It reminds me of Clinton when he got caught committing adultery with an intern against his wife, the pervert that he is. He would be trying to compare himself to Thomas Jefferson. Clinton is no Thomas Jefferson. And these lawyers, well, they couldn't hold John Adams' wig. You folks that keep America safe, you have an ally here, you keep it up.